Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Adkins.
Oh, I thought it was going to tingling. I was trying to tingling my coffee cup.
I heard it. It was like, didn't, right?
Yeah, that's not what I meant to do. Oh. It was a lack of coordination, or there was still too much coffee. It was about the halfway line, and in my head, it was going to go, but it didn't really do that.
Well, at the time of this recording, it's summer and it's in the afternoon. So does Todd have afternoon hair right now?
I do. It is 4:54 p.m. and we are still at it because we are dedicated individuals.
Okay. So today's question is all about things that kill the success of leaders. So here's the question. What are those things, right? What are the common things that kill the success of leaders?
I can remember having this conversation with a pseudo mentor of mine named Rich Hurst. He was one of those guys that, if there was somebody with any issues or problems, he just gravitated toward them. And he wanted to know what your issues or problems were. Almost immediately he would tell you his, but he wanted to know yours. So he had this framework where he would be like, it's like, maybe I've met him once before this and we're alone for the first time. He's like, okay, so Todd, every leader has a problem with one of these three things: money, sex, or power. What's yours? And he just
first time
he was just like, okay, you're going to have a tendency to falter on one of these. What is it? Hmm. And so I said power, which he couldn't understand because I'd come into McLean just getting, squeaking by, getting my foot into the door as an associate ministry person, just so they would hire me. So he was like, I don't understand that, but I think he came to understand it later. Because it wasn't as much power, it was control, which I think ultimately is probably a power thing, but I'm not real upfront about that. Or what would you say, knowing me, Daniel?
Oh man. The fact that you're an 8 on the Enneagram makes sense for the power piece.
Right.
But I think this goes underneath the surface. I don't think it's as simple as the Enneagram. So,
yeah, I think it's something underlying. But he did say one leads to the other too. Mm. So he said, and part of the problem is, one is the gateway to the next thing, So,
yeah.
Anyway, the question was, what will take a leader out? And I think an obsession or a fixation on any one of those things would have a tendency to take leaders out. When we look at the landscape of people we know that have been taken out of ministry, a lot of times it is one of those things, but it's not necessarily one of those things. So we might have to add to it, which we could do during the course of this interview.
Yeah. No, I wonder. I'm just thinking, so in the summer for our church, we're doing this sermon series called Did God Really Say That? And it's, I bring this up because on the weekends we're doing this thing called Garden of Eden, the lie from the devil. Did God really say that? Right. So did God really say judge not? Did God really say think positive and positive things will happen? Did God really say heaven needed another angel? Did God really say? So those are the messages we're doing on our weekend for our summer series. But midweek, right, what we're actually doing is we're helping our congregation work through the book of James. So I did these these kind of these 2 minute quick intro videos to James, just to help our church give some context to that so that they can dig in. And we, it's just something fun midweek that we're doing. The reason I bring that up is I just filmed 6 videos yesterday, kind of an intro one, and then the 5 for James. And in the last chapter, I mean, well, in James, we read, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And that's the one where I literally, on one of the videos, I say it 3 times, right? I say, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And then, but God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And I said that in a way to help our, that was kind of my setup to help our church just understand the different lenses in which we read scripture. And I bring all this up in kind of a long-winded way. I bring it all up to say this, that verse has just so stuck. I mean, I did it to teach our church to think about it, but it's really stuck with me these last couple of days that God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. And in light of you bringing up those 3 areas, money, sex, and power, I wonder if pride is actually the root of all of them, right? In that, oh, it's pride that causes you to find security in money, right? And it's often the money that you earned or the money that you deserve or the money that you control. It's pride that says, yeah, that is your security. Or it's pride that drives you to think, yeah, well, I can have sex with whoever I want, or that I'm going to control my emotions or how I feel or how I want to control, you know. And there's a sense that you get from that, or even it's a matter of power, right? There's that sense of pride that comes into to fueling and how you feel when you have power in some sense or fashion, and how that could really stroke your ego. So I wonder if pride is actually that root.
It may be, because you know, you can also point out, because in my head, the problem I have with those 3 is, you know, what I think some listeners might be thinking too. Well, oh, I know a guy who he just kind of fell out, you know, he just kind of fell away from the faith. He stopped believing. And I would say, well, I think that's pride too. Mm. So I think you're onto something there with pride being the root of all evil. Just simply because even when you think of that, oftentimes it's like, I got a sense of identity out of being a minister or being in ministry. And it, you know, it fed me for so long, but yeah, then that person falls away. And I'm like, well, I don't know that they fell away. They were doing it for the wrong reason in the first place.
Yeah. So there's that approach. There's an approach you can take where you're saying, well, I'm going to try to block all that out or kind of do the opposite of that. But then there's also that sense of, what are the boundaries or the guardrails in your life to prevent you from falling into that? So I would say, first and foremost, community, right? Do you have people in your life that you are not in charge of, that do not work for you, that are not on your payroll, that keep you accountable, that you can be 100% honest with? Because I think that's a huge piece. Otherwise, there's always a subtle underneath the surface power, who has the power, who doesn't have the power side of it, that might influence someone to say, oh, I'm not going to say this because it might threaten that, or you know, there's the ego side of it. So I think on the one hand, we definitely need to have those guardrails to be able to just make sure that we're hanging out with people and we have people in our lives that are just not impressed. They are completely unimpressed with us. I think that's the one piece of it. I think the other thing is, if you're married, are you able to pray with your spouse? Because if you can't pray with your spouse, and I'm not just talking about a perfunctory prayer or prayer before a meal, but if you can't share what you're going through and have your spouse pray for you and you pray for them. I mean, one of the most intimate things, I know oftentimes we think that one of the most intimate things between a husband and a wife is sex, but it's actually, I mean, there's something even more intimate as it relates to prayer. So I would just say those 2 things off the top of my mind are guardrails. What would you add to that, Todd?
I mean, it really is. I like what you said about prayer too, because sometimes you won't pray for something if you know the prayer. Corporate prayer is accountability to a certain extent. And then when you have community prayer, it's one step closer to accountability. And when you're praying with your wife, man, that is as accountable as it gets,
yeah,
because they're with you so often. So I was kind of sidetracked on that thought. So you're going to have to restate.
Well, yeah, I mean, because that's the thing, right? It's so interesting when we think about what kills the success of leaders and how can we not fall into that trap. So, I mean, the thing that also comes to my mind on the Five Leadership Questions podcast, I think it's the third one, that it's like, what are three things, or what's something that you have to do daily? Well, how does the question go again?
Daniel, it hasn't been that long. It's been just over a year. Come on, man.
And I listen to it too, but I'm blanking.
Because we've got like 500 episodes in, and I've been on 98% of those. And I still forget the questions sometimes.
Well,
so I can't do anything. It's what are one or two things other than spiritual disciplines? We usually give the caveat.
Yes. So that's it, right? Other than. And you say that. And why don't you share with our listeners why you say that? Because I think that's a huge component in and
because
around.
Because every pastor or every leader that's on, that's a Christian anyway, we do have some non-Christian leaders from time to time. And I was about to make a joke there about pastors. But anyway, from time to time we do, but we put it on there because everybody's going to give us their Sunday school, and every pastor is going to give us their Sunday school answer because they know what they should say. It should be spiritual disciplines. But you know, it's always amazingly refreshing. And it's happened a lot more recently where we'll have people just confessing stuff left and right. I don't know if it's a new thing, now to confess that, you know, you've had suicidal thoughts, or you've, you know, done something that you shouldn't have done. And it was years and years ago, but you know, I had these issues. I've had big name pastors that 5 years ago that wouldn't have admitted these things that are completely vulnerable in that regard. And I think that's a lot. It speaks a lot into what's happening now, whether it's, I don't know that it's just, you know, the fact that it's like a cool thing to be vulnerable. No, I think people are really realizing that having those types of people around you are important, but even being publicly vulnerable is reinforcing in the same way as an accountability partner is reinforcing. It's easier to get away with. You say grandiose things in public and then go away and do things in private when nobody is in your life daily, but it's still a form of accountability for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's fascinating. Cause it's interesting even as I was on it, but as I still listen to the podcast, people who are like, well, I know you said other than, but actually that's the thing. And they explain. Yeah. So that's just what I love, because from the research, I mean, reading the scriptures daily, more consistently, I mean, that just has such massive effects on your overall spiritual health as well. So yeah, I mean, we could go on forever.
It's hard to read the Bible. It really is hard to read the Bible and not, unless you're dead inside.
Yeah.
And not be moved in some way in every sitting where it's like, oh man. I mean, it's no joke. I read Ephesians 4 this morning and you, even on this podcast, we talk about Ephesians 4. I talk about Ephesians 4 almost every day. And yet it hit me in a different way this morning. And I'm like, where did that come from?
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. That's cool,
man. And so it's just a great reminder that it is living and active and, sharper than any two-edged sword. And it can cut you in a new way, in a good way.
Yeah. So good.
Daily. And that's one of the greatest things.
Awesome. Well, hey, thanks again for listening into the New Church's Q&A podcast. If there's a question that you would love for us to address on the podcast in and around church multiplication, planting, multi-site, leadership development, discipleship, just send that in. It's super easy. If you're on your computer, just go to newchurches.com, hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail, and you can record that question and send it in. Or if you're on your phone right now, just go to speakpipe.com/newchurches and you can send that voicemail in, and we would love to address it on a future episode. Thanks again for listening in, and we'll catch you next time.